The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Emor. In Parshas Emor, Perichov Beis, Posuk, Lamed Gimel. The Torah tells us, excuse me, no, this is not correct. One minute. It's Perichov Beis, Posuk, Lamed Beis. V'leishachalalu Eshem Kotshi. You shall not desecrate my holy name. V'nigdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. And I shall become sanctified amongst the sons of Israel. Ani Hashem mikadishchem. I am the God who sanctifies you. Here we learn now two mitzvahs. The mitzvahs leishaseh. V'leishachalalu Eshem Kodshi. You shall not desecrate my holy name. That's the mitzvah Leisa said, the negative commandment of Chilul Hashem. V'nigdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, and the mitzvah Asay, the positive commandment of Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify my name amongst Yisrael. And the Rambam brings at the beginning of Perek Hay, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGodol Hazeh Shenemar V'Nigdashti B'Seich B'nei Yisrael. All of Israel is commanded on the sanctification of the great name of Hashem, as it states here, that I shall be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. U'muzorin, and they are prohibited, Shlei L'Chalalei, not to desecrate His name. Shenemar, as it states, V'leishachalalu Hashem Kodshi, that you shall not desecrate my holy name. There are a number of levels and different facets to these mitzvahs. Firstly, the Rambam brings the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, when one must give his life. And this is in this mitzvah, this is a part of this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of Hashem's name, and Chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name. And the Rambam brings the halachos from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Masechta Yuma. And the summary of the halachos are as follows. In Kol HaTorah Kula, when it comes to the entire Torah, if a person is forced to transgress a mitzvah, either he's forced, when we're referring here forced by with the threat of life, either he's forced by an akum, a non-Jew comes and puts a gun at him and tells him to transgress a mitzvah, or any other type of sakona, life-threatening danger. For example, he's sick, and the doctors tell him that he's going to have to eat on Yom Kippur, or he's going to, otherwise he'll die, or he's going to have to eat something that requires to be cooked on Shabbos. This is what we mean if he's forced. So the halacha is, the law is, that b'chol HaTorah Kula, when it comes to all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, it states, v'chai b'hem, v'lei shiyamush b'hem, you shall live by this Torah. And the Chazal, the sages, darshan, and you shall not die by it. So therefore, the deen is yavor v'al yehoreg. He has to transgress the mitzvah and not be killed, with three exceptions. The exceptions are what is known as the Gimel Chamures, the three most severe averes in the Torah. Averes Yore, Gila, Arayis, V'Shichas Domin. Idolatry, incest or adultery, Adultery is relations with another man's wife, another Jew's wife. Shfichas damim, the spilling of blood, the spilling of innocent blood. And these three, then the halacha is yehoreg be'al yavor. He must be killed rather than transgress the mitzvahs. And this is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. He must sanctify Hashem's name and be killed rather than transgressing the mitzvahs. And if he does not, then he's desecrating Hashem's name. And when it comes to these three mitzvahs, there are no exceptions, generally speaking. The reason for this is because these three mitzvahs are so severe that in essence they are considered a desecration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name when a Jew transgresses it, even if he transgresses it shelo b'tzeinei, not willingly, but because he's being forced with a life-threatening situation. They are still considered in essence a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, and therefore we have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, where one has to give his life on it. If he does, he has fulfilled this great mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. If he doesn't, then he has committed the Aveira of Leisichalui, of the desecration of Hashem's name. And the reason why these three Aveiros are so severe, the Maral explains in various places. Two reasons. Firstly, we have a person who is made up of three parts. He's made up of a guf, a physical body, Ofra min Adoma, where he was created from the dust of the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a nefesh. He blew into his nostrils a living being. This is the life he imbued him with. And he was given also a seichel, an intelligence. These three averas are the ultimate when it comes to these three sections of the human being. When it comes to the physical body of the person, he can do many mitzvahs and many averas with the physical body. The ultimate avera is gilui arayos. This is incest or adultery. When it comes to the nefesh of the person, this is the life which is imbued in him. And from here comes the emotions. This is from the heart. With a person's emotions, he can fulfill many mitzvahs and many averas. He can transgress. The ultimate avera is shfichas damim, to take someone's life. Why does this have to do with the emotions? Because he's driven by the emotions. If a person becomes a murderer, it's because of hatred, or because of anger, or because of revenge, or because of jealousy. This all comes from the leva adam, the heart of the person, the emotions of the person. And when it comes to his intelligence, he can fulfill many mitzvahs. Talmud Torah, he can study Torah. He can desecrate many mitzvahs. The ultimate is idolatry, the serving of other gods. So since these are the ultimate in view of the different aspects of the human being, this is to the extreme where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us, rather give your life before you desecrate, before you transgress on these averas. Another dimension is that this is also the ultimate of the kilkul, of the destruction, and the snagdush, the going up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, when a person serves idolatry, there is no greater way that he can destroy the relationship he has with Hashem. Because the greatest relationship that you create with Hashem is when you serve him. When you serve idolatry, this is the ultimate in going away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and forsaking Hashem. So there you destroy the link that you have to Shemayim, to Hashem. When a person commits insets, when a person commits shvichas domim, takes an innocent life. This is the ultimate in the destruction between relationships of man and his fellow man. The Rambam brings that ein lo hashkosas liyishuva elam yesem ishvichas domim. The greatest destruction to society is that of violent murder. And when it comes to the avera of gilo harayis, adultery and incest, there this the Maral calls a kilkul atzmai. This is the ultimate in self-destruction. So therefore, in these three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us that rather than transgressing them, we must give up our lives, and this is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Now, this is the first condition. Second halacha, this is referring whether if he's being forced by another person, let's say a non-Jew, to commit his averus, this is when the non-Jew is only interested in his own interests. He's having the Jew commit these averus for his own benefit, for the non-Jew's benefit and non-Jew's interest. But if his motive is to force the Jew to transgress the mitzvah, this is his motive. The motive of the non-Jew is not what he himself can get out of this, but the motive is that he should transgress the mitzvah. Then we are obligated to give our lives on all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, if this is Bafar Hesha, if this takes place publicly, which means in the presence of 10 Jews. Avalei Betzina, but not if this takes place privately. If it's privately, then only on the three mitzvahs that we mentioned. But if it's publicly, then we have to give our lives on all of the mitzvahs. For example, if a non-Jew comes, and he forces the Jew to cook for him on Shabbos because he wants something to eat. So there the motive of the non-Jew is purely for his own benefit. Then since this is not from the Gimel Chamuris, from these three severe averus, so then one will not have to give his life for it, either publicly or privately. But if the motive of the non-Jew, when he forces the Jew to cook on Shabbos, is not because he wants something to eat, but because he wants the Jew to desecrate Shabbos, there we are commanded that we have to give our lives on all mitzvahs, if it's publicly, because that becomes a chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, because there we are transgressing the mitzvahs of Hashem, because the non-Jew wants us to demonstrate that we can desecrate Hashem's name and break his mitzvahs. So there publicly we have to give our lives, privately we do not have to. That's the second halacha. A third halacha is all of this refers to shelei b'shas hagzeira u'shmad, not when there's a decree, a public decree, which is trying to assimilate Jews. But if there's a public decree which is trying to assimilate Jews, the Rambam says, for example, v'ushi yamed melech rosha Nebuchadnezzar v'chavirav. For example, during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, this was the Roman king, v'yigzog zera Yisrael levashal dosam or mitzvah min ha-mitzvahs, and he makes a decree on Yisrael that they're not allowed to keep mitzvahs, and they're not allowed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then afilo alachas mishar mitzvahs beinenas b'sech hasor beinenas beinei levein atzmai beinei levein evdei kakomim, he is obligated to give his life. Then on all mitzvahs, not only in public but even in private, he's obligated to give his life, and Kiddush Hashem. So these are the three halachos that we're never obligated to give our lives rather than break the mitzvahs under normal circumstances, except the Gimel Hamuris, the three most severe, and this we always have to. If, though, a non-Jew tries to force a Jew to break a mitzvah publicly merely to demonstrate that the Jew will break mitzvahs, then we are obligated to give our lives publicly, but not privately. If, however, it's at a time when there's a Melech Rosho, an evil dictator, a king, that has made a decree that Israel is not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs, then, like it took place during the Nebuchadnezzar, during the time of the Hanukkah story, that was with the Greeks, that they made decrees that we cannot fulfill mitzvahs, then we are obligated, rather than to desecrate the mitzvahs, we are obligated to give our lives, even privately, on all mitzvahs. This is one area of this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. It's another area. The Rambam brings in Halacha Dalet, Kol mi shenemar yavor ve'al yahoreg. No, excuse me. Kol mi shenemar boy yahoreg val yavor. Excuse me, also not. Now this is in the Rambam brings this in Halacha Yud. Kol ha'ever mi daite belei einus. Al achas mi kol mitzvahs ha'amuris b'torah. Whoever transgresses intentionally a mitzvah of any mitzvahs which are stated in the Torah, b'sheita b'nefesh lahachis, and he transgresses it willingly and for the purpose to anger HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Arei Zeh Mechalles Hashem. This is a Chil Hashem. Lefichoch Nema B'Shvur Sheker. Therefore, it states that when the Torah tells us we shall not take a false oath in the name of Hashem, V'Cholalto Hashem Alekecho Ani Hashem, because you are desecrating my name. Bim Ova Ba'Asor MiYisrael, Arei Zeh Chilles Hashem B'Rabim. And if he desecrates this mitzvah in the presence of 10 Jews, then this is a Chil Hashem b'Rabim, a public desecration. What is he saying? If a person commits a mitzvah because of various reasons, for example, he commits a mitzvah because he commits an aveira because he has benefit from it. He steals because he wants the money. Steals a car because he wants the car. Or he eats something that he's not allowed to because he wants to eat it. Or because the mitzvah is difficult to keep. It's difficult. And he opens the shop on Shabbos because for business purposes it's difficult to close a shop. And so forth and so on. Or because he never learned about the mitzvahs, or he was never taught to take them seriously. This is aveira. It's transgression. If it's an aveira, if the mitzvah we're speaking about is a mitzvah chamura, a severe aveira, it's an aveira chamura. But this is not known as lahachis. This is rather known as leto'ovim. This is what the Gemara calls in the beginning of Masechta Chulin, a muma leto'ovim, if he's rogel bekach, if he always does this, this is called a muma leto'ovim, where he transgresses Hashem's mitzvahs for his own benefit. It's an aveira, but the Gemara says he's still bechlal Yisrael kosher. He's still a kosher Yisrael. But, and there are certain exceptions to that, but generally. But if he has no benefit from the mitzvah, and he knows the mitzvah, and still he does it, and he does it because he wants to demonstrate that he will break mitzvahs of Hashem. He does it because he wants to break mitzvahs. This is his motivation. He wants to break mitzvahs. This is called the hachis. And if he's rogel bekach, if he does this continually, this is what is known as a mumer lahachis. He's a mumer. He's a person that is interested in angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being married, rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in such a case, the Gemara says that Mumer leMitzvah Achas is Mumer leKolateira Kula Lahachis. That even if he does this only with one mitzvah, and even a mitzvah Kala, even from the less severe mitzvahs, he has a, his status is as if he's a mumer lecholateira kula, as if he rejects the entire Torah, and arezek akum, he no longer has an halocha, a status of a Yisrael kosher. He's not considered a Yisrael kosher. You cannot trust him for anything. You cannot count him in for a minyan, and so forth and so on. Ke akum, the Gemara says. As far as we're concerned, he is the same as a non-believer, a non-Jew. So the Rambam says, when a person does this, this is a chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name. If it's privately, it's a chilul Hashem in private. If it's publicly, it's a chilul Hashem berabu. What is the reason for this? The reason is very obvious. Because, like the Maral says many times, Yisrael, when they do averus, it's yetzer ko'onsei. They're not doing averus because they want to go up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're doing averus because Yetzirah Ko'onsei, because they're being pushed into the averus by the Yetzer Hara. They're being drawn to the averus. They're being enticed to the averus because of the benefits that they'll get from it, from the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, Yisrael afal pi shechot Yisrael hu. Therefore, Yisrael, even though he commits a sin, he's still Bechal Yisrael. We still consider him Yisrael. It's possible for him, it's not only possible, but it's comparatively easy for him to do tshuva, because it doesn't come from a source of ra, of evil, but rather he's good, except the Yetzer. He fell, he weakened, he buckled to his Yetzer Hora. This is by Stam Yisrael. But when you have a mumer lahachis, someone who has no benefit from the mitzvah, and still he goes and he transgresses the mitzvah, this is coming, this is not because Yetzirah ko'onsei, this is not because his Yetzirah hara is enticing him. He has no benefit from it. This comes from a source of evil. This comes from a source of someone who is a kefir, an apikeris. He wants to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry, or he wants to fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to deny Hashem. This is not Bechlal Yisrael anymore. This is not in the Klal of Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechot Yisrael, that Yisrael, even though they commit sins, they are still Yisrael. This is the Rosh of the Haggadah, Shel Pesach. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, there are four people there. Four sons. So the Haggadah tells us that it's a mitzvah to bring close to Torah three of them. If he's a chochom, for sure. If he's a tam, he doesn't know too well, bring him close, teach him. If he's an ani yodei lishul, if he's so far he can't even ask, at sachlai, teach him, go out and teach him Torah. But Rosho, no. Because the others are still Blachal Yisrael. They're still inclusive in Yisrael. They want to be Jews. But the Rosh, he has excluded him. He has stepped out of Yisrael. So Haki HaShinah, don't have anything to do with him. Reject him. because he has taken himself out of the cloud. Now the Rambam goes further. This is on the negative side. We have a positive side also. He brings the chen kol haperish me'avera, and the same thing is if someone removes himself from the temptation of avera, or also a mitzvah, or he goes and he does a mitzvah, leim mit meidove ba'elam, and not for any personal benefit, like pachad, not because he's afraid. He does the mitzvah because he's afraid of what will happen to him if he doesn't do the mitzvah. Or he doesn't do the aveda because he's afraid of what will happen to him if he does. V'layire, not because of fear. V'laylevakesh kovet, and not because of honor. In other words, you have a person who does a mitzvah, or he withdraws from an aveda, not because of any benefit that's going to come to him. He's not going to make any money on it. He's not doing it because he's afraid of what will be his punishment in this world or the next world. Or he's doing the mitzvah for the reward in this world and the next world. That's not why he's doing it. Or he's because of public opinion. Public opinion demands that he's a frumah Jew, so therefore he has to do mitzvahs and he has to can't do averus. That's good, but that's not what we're talking about. So here's a person who does a mitzvah or doesn't do an avera, for no ulterior reason whatsoever. Like pachad, leyire, lelavakesh kovet. He's not interested in the honor. Only because he says, Kach siv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I'm doing it. And for example, he says, Kiminias Yosef HaTzadik Atzmei Me'eshes Rabbi. For example, when Yosef was being enticed by the wife of his master when he was a young lad in Egypt, and he ran away from this avera, and there certainly there was no benefit to him. He got thrown into the dungeon. There was no benefit from running away. To the contrary, he would have had benefit if he wouldn't have run away. She would have treated him royally. She would have made him a wealthy man. But here, to the contrary, he didn't run away because of benefit or because of popular opinion or whatever it might be. He only ran away from this avera because of the mitzvahs Hashem. Hareze mekadish es Hashem. This is a kiddush Hashem, sanctification of Hashem's name. If it's privately, then he has sanctified Hashem's name b'tzino, privately. If it's publicly, then he has sanctified Hashem's name berabim, publicly. Where's the Rambam's source for this? The Rambam's source for this is explicit. It's two Gemaras in Masechta Sota. The Gemara brings on Daf Yud Amud Beis and on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. One minute, I need another Gemara. Can you give me a Gemara? In Masechta Sota, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Omer of Chana bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida. Yosef Shekidu Shem Shemaim B'Seisa. Yosef sanctified Hashem's name privately. And where were you referring to? Referring to this case with Eishes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, because nobody knew about it. Heisifu Alov Eis Achas Mishmai. So here we see the Gemara calls it Kiddush Shem Shemaim. That this is a Kiddush Hashem. This is the Rambam source. Now, Heisifu Alov Eis Achas Mishmai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him back. What did he do? He gave Yosef a letter from his own name. because it states in Tehillim Pei Aleph, Edus be Yehosef Shmei, B'tzeis al Eretz Mitzrayim, that Yosef, when he went out in Mitzrayim, he's called Yehosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu added a hey to his name, which is from his own name. Yehuda Shekidu Shem Shemayim Befar Hesha, Yehuda, that went and he sanctified Hashem's name publicly, Nikra Kulei Ashmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name has all the letters of Hashem's name in it, because Yehuda has the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. These are all of the letters of Hashem's name. Then the Gemara goes into where was Yosef Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? So it brings the case of the wife of Potiphar. Where was Yehuda Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? So here it brings one case, and under Yehuda it brings another case. There were two cases. There was one case by Yehuda and one by his descendant Nachshon. The Gemara brings on Dafyud, the Gemara says, that it was sought to be many. Yehuda, when he was confronted that Tamar was expecting twins, and Tamar was his daughter-in-law, and he was the shofet, the judge, and he said, Hotziu b'sisaref, take her out and burn her. And then later on she gave to him his staff and his ring and his cloak, and she said that whoever owns these are he is the father. Now Yehuda admitted tzotko mimeni, he says they are for me. Now you cannot say that he did that for benefit, for reasons of benefit, because this in Yehuda's eyes, this was destroying him, because he was scandalizing his own name. And actually, this Yehuda was the shofet. He was the most prominent person there. And through such an admission, he could have been destroyed forever. And yet, he did it le mipnei hayire vele mipnei hampachat vele mipnei hakovet. He knew this was the right thing to do, because if he would be silent, she would be burnt. So he knew this was the right thing to do, how painful it was, and he did it. Harei ze kiddush Hashem befar heshen, was publicly. So this was a sanctification of Hashem's name publicly, where people see what he would do to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem. And it was just the contrary what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he paid him off. He gave him the letters in his name. Well, actually Yehuda had the name before, but it was predestined that should become his name because of this act. And he made his name great. We've spoken at this in length, but he made his name great, because through this Yehuda was Eicha to Malchus. He became a Melech, and the ones that were born from Tamar, one was Peretz. From Peretz was to come Baez and Oved, Yishai and David HaMelech. And through David HaMelech, Yehuda was to gain Malchus forever, which was the greatest name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you sanctified my name and made it great, I will make your name great. Plus he gave him the letters of his name. That's one story. The Gemara brings another one by his descendant. But when the Shvatim, when the tribes came to the Yam Suf, to the Red Sea, and they were hemmed in front of them was the raging sea, and surrounding them was the wilderness, and behind them was Paray and his chariots and Egypt coming to kill them. So they said, we have no way to escape. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, go forward, tell them to go forward. Nobody would go forward. How can we go forward? They tell you to walk into the Indian Ocean, you'd walk into the Indian Ocean. could walk a few steps, but beyond that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, tell them to go forward. Zeimer, Eini Yerei Tchila, Vezeim Eini Yerei Tchila. The Shvatim said, no, we're not going. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. Until Nachshon from Shevet Yehuda, Kofatz Nachshon, Beyora Tchila. Nachshon went, and he says, I will go. And he went into the raging sea, up to his neck. And he shouted, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should live forever and ever, should reign forever and ever. And then the sea split. The sea split, and they were able to go. So, here now, he's not doing this to be popular. Because from the looks of it, it looked like it was a suicide. And he did it to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So this was the second story that the Gemara brings, that this was with the descendant of Yehuda. Now, from here we see that Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem is not only to give one's life for the mitzvahs, like the first phase we learned. But even without giving one's life, when a person fulfills a mitzvah, and he does not do it because everyone does it, or he does not do it because it's popular, or he does not do it because he'll have covet from it, or he'll have gain for it, but he does it only because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded. Harei ze kiddush shem shamayim. This is a kiddush Hashem. Whether it's public or private. If it's private, then it's kiddush Hashem shamayim betzino. This was Yosef. Yosef kiddush shem shamayim betzino. If it's public, this is kiddush shem shamayim befarheshu. This is a public sanctification of Hashem's name, like Yehuda. And this is the same with fulfilling a mitzvah or being perish min avera, of withdrawing from an avera. If we would want to know the great reward there is for sanctifying Hashem's name, this we can learn from its hafecha, from its contrast, from Chil Hashem. The Gemara brings him a Masech the Yuma and Daf Pehi Amad Beis, and the Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. But he says that when it comes, if a person does an Aveira and he wants to do Tshuva, he wants to repent, and the Tshuva is Mechaperes, the Tshuva atones, so there are different levels. The first level is, the Rambam brings, Yesh Aveiras Tshuva Mechaperes Miyad. There are some Aveiras that Tshuva atones immediately. It's level number one. Level number two, Yesh, the Be'inim Tshuva V'gam Yom HaKippurim. There are some Aveiras that Tshuva will not atone by itself. He has to wait for Yom Kippur. Tshuva together with Yom Kippur will be Mechaper, will atone. Level number three is Yesh, the Be'inim Tshuva Yisurin V'yom HaKippurim. Some are so chomor, are so severe, that a person needs to do tshuva, and then, heaven forbid, there's yisurin, affliction that comes upon him, and then Yom HaKippurim. Now, these are the three levels. The Rambam then says, "Bamed dvorim amurim." When do we say all of this? Belechi l'Hashem b'shasho avar. This is where there was no desecration of Hashem's name publicly. Avol amachal. Shem Shemayim v'farheshir, but if there's a Chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name publicly, heaven forbid, then he'll never have a complete atonement until he dies. He does tshuva, and Yom Kippur comes, and Yisurin, he has affliction, Shlesh and Tolin. So it all becomes contingent. When he dies, then he'll have a complete atonement. So we see from here that Chil Hashem is the most difficult avera in the whole Torah to atone for. From here we can learn not only how great an Avera it is, but how great a mitzvah it is to be Mekadishem Shemayim Mefarheshu. Now, there's a further level of Kiddush Hashem and Chilah Hashem. We've mentioned two levels so far. That of Mesiris Nefesh, where one is required to give his life. Second one we mentioned is if one fulfills a mitzvah for no other reason except the fulfilling of to fulfill the will of Hashem, or if one desecrates a mitzvah for no other reason except to rebel against Hashem. Now there's a third phase. And this the Gemara in Yuma brings, and Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, it's near the bottom of the daf, but just below center. Abayom Mekirisandra. After Es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem your God. What does it mean? You shall love Hashem your God. All right. The simple sense means is that you shall love Him. But there's another meaning also. Sheshem Shemayim is Ayev Al Yotcha. Not only you shall love Him, but you shall cause Him to be loved. You shall cause Him to be loved by others. Now, how do you do that? A person who sits and he learns Chumash, and then he learns Mishnah, and then he goes to Talmidei Chachomim and he learns Gemara, and he associates with them. And he has his business dealings are faithful, with honesty and integrity. And he speaks kindly and softly to all of the people. Mahabriyas Emres Alav. What do people say on a person like this? Ashre Oviv Shalom De Tera. How fortunate is his father that taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabbi Shalom Dater. How fortunate is his Rebbe that taught him Torah. Eilehem Lebriya Shalom De Torah. How unfortunate are those who did not study Torah. Pleni Shalom De Torah, Ruh Kama Noim Drochav, Kama Misukonim Asav. This person that went and studied Torah, see how beautiful his ways are. See how fine his ways are. How upright. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on these people that you are my servants, Israel, that I take pride from. So this is a Kiddush Hashem. And this person is fulfilling the after Es Hashem Elokecha, loving of Hashem in its full sense. Not where he loves Hashem, but he even causes others to love Hashem. But someone who goes and he learns Chumash and Mishnah, and he goes to Talmid HaChachomim and learns Gemara, and his dealings are not with integrity, and he does not speak nicely to people, what do people say on him? Tragic it is, how unfortunate it is that this person went and studied Torah. I love him, Shalom the Torah. I to the father that taught him Torah. I to the Rabbi Shalom the Torah, and to the Rebbe that taught him Torah. This person went and he learned Torah, and look, Kama Meku, call him myself. How crooked are his ways. Kama Meku, Orin Drochav, how ugly are his ways. I love Akosavim, Bemalehem, Amashem, Eile Umatze Yotsu. Now, the Rambam brings this in this perek, mitzvah of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. The Rambam brings this in Halacha Yud Aleph. Yesh dvorim acherim shehim b'chal Chil Hashem. There are other things also which are inclusive in Chil Hashem, even though they're not actual mitzvahs. And this is when a person who's great in Torah and is well known in righteousness, he does dvorim, he does things shahabriyas marananim achra bishvilom, which causes people to talk after him. And even though they're not averus, nevertheless, hareza chilas Hashem, this is a desecration of Hashem's name. Again, for example, shalokach ve'ena nesin demei amekach la'al tevush yeshloi. He buys, and he doesn't pay right away, and he has money, and they have to keep running after him to get their money. Or shiyad be b'schek, or ba'achil v'shti yitzla me'oritz. Ubenehem. Or, for example, you always find him with the ignorant people, and he's always eating with them and drinking with them and laughing around with them. Or, for example, he speaks with people not kindly. And he does not receive them kindly and graciously. But he's a person who's always quarrelsome, and he's always angry, and he gets into fights with people, or he yells at people, and so forth. He's short-tempered with people. In other similar ways, and all in accordance to the greatness of the person. The greater the person, the more exacting he has to be from himself. And he has to do everything lifnim mishuras hadin. Lifnim mishuras hadin means that when he has money matters with other people, he has to always give them the benefit of the doubt. This is a chilashim, the Rambam says, if he does not fulfill this. But if the chocham is exacting to himself, and he speaks kindly with all of the people, and his das is mu'urevas imohem, that means he mixes with them. In other words, he talks with them. He can identify with them. Umekablam b'seiv upon him yofesh, and he receives them graciously. V'nela mehem ve'enan olbam, and he allows himself to be insulted by them, and he never insults them. Mechabed lohem, and he gives honor to them. V'afilu lemekilin lai, and even those that do not give honor to him. V'neisim v'neisim be'amuna, and his business dealings with them are with integrity. V'le'yarbe bi'ariches ami'ores v'yishivosam, but he does not socialize always together with them, eating or drinking. V'le'yiretomi le'la esik b'toro otu b'tzitzis mukhte b'tfilin. But when one sees him, they always see him that he's learning. He has his tzitzis on. He has his tefillin on. Ve'eisa b'chol ma'isim lifnim mishuras hadin. And everything that he does, all of his money matters, are lifnim mishuras hadin. He does more than what is expected of him. But at the same time, he doesn't displace himself. He doesn't distance himself too much from the people. So you can become a recluse also, that the person can go into a room and stay there with a talis and tefillin the whole day and never see the people. So the Rambam says, no, that's not right either, because he has to be me'uravim abriyas, he has to have an attachment to the people also. So he says, therefore, that he shouldn't be too far, too distant away from the people. If he's this type of person, achi motsu, Hakol Mekalsin, I say, that until we find that everybody praises him, Be'avim, I say, and everybody loves him. The Mishnah Novi says that Ov Lamata Biyadushu Ahu Ov Lamalo. If someone is loved in this world by many, then it's known that he's loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kol Mi SheRuach HaBriyas Neichemeno, Ruach HaMokem Neichemeno, someone who people take pleasure in him, people take pleasure in his existence in this world, then it is known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes pleasure in him. So the Mekalsim, they praise him and they love him, or Misavim LeMaisuf, and they want to emulate him. Hareze Kiddush Hashem. This is Kiddush Hashem. Even though we're not talking here necessarily about Gufei Mitzvahs, actual Mitzvahs, we're not talking here about Lulav and Esrog and Matzah. Hareze Kiddush Hashem. This is more we're referring here to Hanhogo, to conduct. And on him the Torah says, that this is, this is my servant Israel, which I take pride in. So we have another level of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, even though it's not dealing with the Avera Chamuris, with the severe Averas, or even the Avera Kalas, or even the lesser Averas. And this is in a person's general conduct with people. I want to conclude with just two other notes on this. And that's firstly, when we speak of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, sanctification and the desecration of Hashem's name, we have to understand that when we're speaking about a name, the Chazal tell us that perhaps the most important asset or attribute that a person has is his name. Yeah. It says in the Mishnah Ovis, it says from all of the crowns that a person has, Shem Tov Olam Kulono, a good name is the best of all. And it brings from the Pasuk, Shem Tov Mishem Tov. And the good name is the greatest thing for a person. And the Maral explains why. Because there is nothing closer to the person than his name. Because the Gemara always says that Hashem Meir Ala Etzim, a name identifies the essence of the person. Anything else that he has are kinyonim. They are acquisitions, but they are not him himself. He has acquired things, but they are not him himself. Well, the name identifies he himself. Hashem Meir Ala Es Ala Etzim. So, the name that he has, that refers to he himself. And if it's a name of honor, then that's the greatest thing a person can have. And we see that it's the dearest thing for a person too. And it outlives everything else, the Maral says. It's beyond time and beyond place. For example, someone can be at one end of the world and you know about them here. Now we think, well, today we have the mass media, instant communication. No. Avraham Avinu lived during the time when there was no mass media or instant communication. Maybe in Babel in Mesopotamia, they had a good press, a good newspaper in Avram's time, but it wasn't like we have today. It wasn't CNN. And still, who doesn't know of Avram's name? They knew his name all over the world, and thousands of years later, they still know his name. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Va'agad l'shemecho, I will make your name great." David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I will make your name great." Who hasn't heard of King David? And that's without any help from the mass media. A name transcends all geographical locations and all time, time and space. And it lives far longer after the person lives.
this is one of the reasons why Lashon Hara is such a evil avera, because Lashon Hara, when you slander someone, you are slandering his name. Now, therefore, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, there can be nothing worse. If you sanctify his name, if you make his name great in the world, there can be nothing better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays mido keneged mido. He says, you make my name great, I will make your name great. And we see that with Yosef, he took a letter from his own name and he gave it to Yosef. And with Yehuda, he took all the letters of his name and he gave it to Yehuda. And these are names that live down forever, because you become a Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes a partner with you in his name, and you become a partner with him in his name. This is one principle. A second principle, this is an interesting the Maral brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings miracles to the world through his name. We see this, that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not split the sea until someone was Mekadosh his shame. He had to wait till Nachshon would jump in and to show that under all circumstances he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he yelled out Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ba'ed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings miracles through his name. There's an interesting Gemara in Brachos, but the Gemara brings in Brachos Daf Chof Reish Omer Aleph. Omer Le Rapopo L'Abaya. Rapopo said to Abaya, Maishno Rishenim Disrachish Lu Niso. Rapopo asked the question, why do we find by the earlier sages that miracles were always happening to them? And by us, the Prophet said, we are not great enough to make miracles. Maybe you'll say because they knew more Torah, they studied more. He says, not now, not so. During the time of Rabbi Yehuda, Kuli Tanui ben Ezekin Hava, everyone, they were all experts in Seder Nezikin. That was one of the areas of the Mishnah. But we are experts in the entire Mishnah, not just in one facet of the Mishnah, but in all of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So we learned more than they did. We knew more than they did. Another example, v'chiyava moter of Yehuda ba'uksin, o ishi shekeves shiyer b'kdeira v'amil lozesim shekofshon b'tarpehen tohorin, when Rabbi Yehuda studied Masechta Uktzin. And there it brings the particular halacha he was studying. Omar havayez deravu shmul kachazino hocha. He said, I see here all of the difficulties that Rav and Shmuel were having. His rebbes were Rav and Shmuel, or his colleagues were Rav and Shmuel. And he says, I see here all of the difficulties that they're having. In other words, when they studied Masechta Uktzin, they had great difficulty even understanding, even making any understanding out of it. And when we study Masechta Uktzin, we have Tleisha Meshifta. There's two explanations. Rashi says 13 explanations in every Mishnah. And Tosfos brings, we have 13 yeshivas that were expert in this Masechta. Well, they couldn't even get one explanation out of it. So he says, why is it that by them, he says, V'ilu Rav Yehuda ki avisholav chad nesanya osim mitra. By Rav Yehuda, when there was a drought, and they would ask him to pray for rain, before he had time to take off one shoe, rain came already. So why is it that by the Rishayim, a lot of miracles they could bring, and by us we can't bring any? And it can't be because they knew more. We know more than them. So he answered,
he says, and by us kometzarina nafshin umatzukot havchinon v'lest mishkapon. By us, when we need rain, we go to shuls and we daven and we say tillim, and nobody listens to us. Omalei, so by answer of Papa, kamoi have a komasri nafshayu akidushes Hashem. The early ones, they used to give their lives on Kiddush Hashem. Anan le'masrinan nafshin akidushes Hashem. But we are not prepared to give our lives for Kiddush Hashem. And this was, the Maral says, that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracles come from His Shem HaGodol, from His great name in this world. And those who sanctify His name bring His name into the world. How is He known in the world? He's known through His name. So you bring His name into the world, you bring miracles into the world. They were prepared to sanctify His name at all costs. They brought His name into the world. They brought miracles into the world. We are not prepared to sanctify His name at all costs. Therefore, we do not bring His name into the world. If we do not bring His name into the world, we do not bring miracles into the world. This is an explanation in the mitzvahs of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.